That was so good. You know, I had prayed all day. I didn't want this service tonight to be a funeral service. I don't. I think God doesn't want it to be a funeral service, do you? Brother John's mother's service on Monday, to me, was not a funeral either. I thought it was more of a celebration of life. The singing, the message, everything to me was uplifting. And I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 5 tonight. And I'll show you why I think that this should not be a solemn time for us tonight, but actually a celebration time. I know the resurrection's coming on Sunday. But you know, He's already rose. He's as alive as He's ever been tonight. And what happened today in history is finished. By this time, if not, it was over. I'll share a little bit with you tonight. Yeah, I guess you figured out by now I'm not a Good Friday crucifixion guy. Somebody told me once that it doesn't matter how many hours of the day he was, if Friday, Saturday, Sunday would technically be 3 days. I said, well, the Bible says he was in the days as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly, right? I take it literally as 3 days and three nights. And I guess I go all the way back to Genesis in creation. Some people believe those days are 1,000 year days. I think there are 24-hour days, evening and morning were the first day. Evening, I think He created all you and I see in 6 days, literally 6 days. So I think he did it on purpose when He gave us a symbol to look for. And I'm not ashamed to stand on what God says. Now, I have to tell you this. Sometimes I stand on what He says, but I can't prove it. But this is kind of one of those we can deals. But 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to see this. I was reading a commentary a few months ago, and it was about Easter time. And the commentator said, everybody wants to tie Passover to Easter. And all I can say is, duh. It's what it was all about. It's a fulfillment. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. And I hope tonight you'll see that Passover was a celebration. And I hope you see tonight when we leave here, it shouldn't be a solemn occasion, but it should be a celebration occasion that you and I serve a risen Savior. He fulfilled what He said He did. He accomplished it. And you and I can celebrate every day of our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I understand this passage of Scripture is talking about a church that had some spiritual problems, some sin inside the camp, so to speak. And Paul is trying to teach them how to clean it up. But I want you to drop down to verse 7 and get this part with me tonight. It's kind of a wake-up for us, and then we'll get into a message. He said in verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." Now everybody knows what leaven is. Leaven is what? Yeast, right? And yeast was always a picture of sin. So when they talk about unleavened bread, it was bread that didn't have yeast in it, and they would eat that during some holidays, some religious holidays. We're going to find out the Feast of Unleavened Bread was going to be part of that tied in to Passover. But when you and I are Christians, He sometimes gives us that example as well. Sometimes there's leaven in the lump, and He's calling us the lump. This group's the lump. And sometimes there's leaven in it. That means there's some sin in it. I'm going to tell you, honestly, there's sin in it tonight because I showed up. Y'all looking around wondering who the sinner is in the bunch, but I'm just going to go ahead and start. I don't know if anybody... Listen, if you come to join a sinless church, you'd probably come to the wrong place. Because Patrick's here with me. And Jack Meeks, Don Hawkins, Rochelle, Trevor, Tex, Calvin, I keep saying Calvin up there. I think everybody online thinks we're talking about Calvin's dad. He's up there. Calvin up there. He's in the loft if you're watching online. All right, let me finish reading to you now. You're awake. I looked like I was preaching to people about to doze off. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even as Christ our, I love this phrase, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, I don't know about anybody in the building besides Steve, but that, to me, ties Jesus with Passover. That one spot right there. Jesus Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, then with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He's not telling us that you and I need to start participating in Passover, but he said it needs to be a spiritual event for us anyway, and when we're doing it, we need to make sure we get rid of all the sin. He's talking about malice and wickedness. That's that envy and hatred toward each other. But then he said we ought to have sincerity and truth. We need to be sincere with each other. Honest with each other. But most importantly, we need the truth. The truth is what will always make us free. I love the truth. One of the things I try to teach my pastors in Belize, all else fails, drag the Bible out and give them truth. Because truth is the greatest thing you'll ever give anybody. Our words are not driven like the Word of God is driven. It's promised it will not return void or empty. So when God's Word goes out, nobody comes forward. I can't feel like it was a waste tonight. Because God promised it would accomplish what it was supposed to have accomplished. Now, I do believe sometimes we move and never get out of our seats. And sometimes we ponder for it a day or two. And somewhere in the middle of the week, I might get a text message. Hey, brother, that hit. Hey, brother, that was what I needed. You know? That's how God works. But I can be rest assured when I go home and my Bible's in my hand and Dad's driving me back home tonight. I can be rest assured that God will get what He wanted to get from it. Amen. He said it won't return void. Now, go with me to the book of Exodus, because if we're going to talk about Passover a little bit, I want you to see the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. I was taught a long time ago by an old preacher. I think he only had a fourth grade education, but he was one of my teachers. And I think I learned more from him than maybe anybody else. And here's what he told me. He said, anytime you see the first time something's mentioned in the Bible, that sets the precedence for the rest of the Bible. So, if you want to talk about worship, the first place it's mentioned in Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac went on the mountain to worship. So if we're going to worship Sunday, we've got to do what they did on the mountaintop. Y'all go home, ponder that one. But that's where the first time worship's mentioned in the Bible. When Abraham and Isaac went up on the mountain. Y'all know what happened up there. Here's the first time Passover's mentioned in the Bible. It's in the book of Exodus. I want you to read some wording that I had never paid attention to, but to me, kind of gave me a little more excitement as I read this week. Look at verse chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to read a few verses right here. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. I think that's pretty cool to see. They already been having months, they already been having time, it wasn't brand new, but God is telling these people there's about to be something new for you all. A new beginning. You know the greatest thing about Christianity to me is the new beginning. I had an old time long-time friend called me today out of the blue. And I think maybe all this is tied together, probably. Me and him grew up together in the same community. And I remember when I got saved, getting him to go to church with me. And I can remember during the invitation more than once that he would step out to the aisle and step back in. I'd talk, he'd step out, step back in. And then we moved. We moved from Indianapolis to Kentucky. I lost all ties of this boy for probably almost 30 years. And then his grandmother died and we were at the funeral. And at the funeral I seen him and I just had to ask him. And he told me, He said, later on, I did get saved. I got saved at that church because my grandma got saved at that church and started going, and I went with her, and I ended up getting saved. Whew, that was good for me to know because I wondered about that in my whole life. Y'all know family or friends that's not saved? You ever get them in your brain? Lee called me out of the blue today. It's been, we figured 54 years since we run around Indianapolis together. Maybe 52, but somewhere between 52 and 54 years. We were the only two kids in the city. We had ponies. Imagine Indianapolis. We lived within a fourth of a mile to the airport. We had little yards in Indianapolis, right? But we both had ponies. And we rode them streets in Indianapolis on them ponies. Then it went to bicycles after the ponies. But you know, he said, I want to come down and spend some time with you. I thought, well, that's awesome. That's what because Christianity gives us a clean slate. I've had a lot of blunders in my life, but you know, when I got saved, God got rid of all that, cleaned it up. Now, I've messed up along the way, but He died for those sins too. And when I confess them, He cleans them. How many are you glad of that? How many are you glad that when you get there, they're not waiting on you? Ooh, if anything, I'm glad about that. So he said, this is going to be a new beginning of the month. It should be the first month of the year to you. He said, whatever day, whatever month this is, from now on is going to be the first month of the year for you. Their months don't start in January. Theirs is Nisan, which is the first month for them. It's like our March, April, all right? So that's their first month. Now watch what he says. Speak, verse 3, unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, they shall take of them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. So you understand the lamb? Now verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Everybody read that with me? Now let me clarify that. The 10th day of Nisan is exactly the same day that Jesus Christ came riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. That's the same day that the lambs are moved from Bethlehem to Jerusalem for Passover. Okay, everybody with me? The 14th day is the same day that Jesus was crucified on. The same day. Now, he says in this passage of Scripture, look closely, in verse 5, you shall take it, or verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, when did Jesus die? In the evening. All right. Now, remember the other day I told you, you got to put this time thing on your paper somewhere. 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. was a Jewish day. All right? So at 6:01 p.m., if this is Wednesday right now, and it's 6:01, if the clock turned to 6:01 p.m., what day would it be? Huh? Thursday. Everybody clear? Clear as mud, right? Clear as lodo. So if you... 6 o'clock p.m., 6:01 the next day. All right? That's important. Jesus is on the cross from 9 in the morning, the third hour. The sixth hour got dark to the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the p.m. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Then he said, it is finished, and he died. A little bit later, they came through with the vinegar and the hyssop. Remember that? And then later on, they came through to break the legs. We're going to talk about that in a second. Now we're getting closer between 3 and 6. Time's moving, right? Everybody's starting to hurry now. I'm going to show you why. Now, just for clarification, there's a legal book in our Bible. How many like the law? I've always thought if I wasn't a preacher, I'd love to be a lawyer. I think I could do that. When we were in school, that was one of my favorite classes. And I was always the guy that would pick the criminal and try to get him off. The defense attorney. Now go to the book of Leviticus, because this is our legal book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. How many's read Leviticus today, just out of curiosity? I got a Leviticus reader. That's good. Leviticus 23. You got to read this one because it gives us the highlights, outlines, and how things work. We're going to start in verse 5, Leviticus 23. Now, this is going to be really, really, really important. If you're drifting off, dozing, getting warm, comfortable, and you wake up a minute. Because if you miss one verse here, nothing else will make sense the rest of the night. So I got to make sure you don't miss the one verse. Verse 5 says, in the 15th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover. Exactly what Moses said in Exodus, correct? 6. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Now, what happened that night in Israel, they had to clean out all the leaven. They had to make some bread. Anybody know why they had to make bread? Because they're going to be leaving in the morning. Now, I got to show you a verse in a second, so everybody just stay awake. Verse 6 says, on the 15th day of the same month as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day of these 7 days, okay, starts on what day? Say that loud. Starts on what day? The 15th. The 15th. The first day, which would be the 15th, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall not do no servile work therein. Verse 8. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7 days of the holy convocation, ye shall do no severe work therein. What he's saying is, that day when he says holy convocation, that is a Sabbath day. It's possible to have more than one Sabbath in a week. What's the weekly Sabbath? Saturday. But this time, it could be another Sabbath. What day would that be on? Thank you, brother. Everybody else is gone. Everybody else is packed up and went and got tacos, brother. On the 15th, it's going to be a Sabbath day. Now, this is all got a point. Stay with me on point. On the 15th, it's going to be a Sabbath day. You can't do any what? So whatever you're going to do, you're going to have to do it the day before. That is always considered preparation day for the next day. John 19. John 19. Go to verse number 29. Never noticed this one until this week. I don't know if maybe I've seen them miss Susan and then because I'm old now, I forget. So sometimes the Bible's like brand new to me again. That's okay. Verse 29. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar. They filled it, a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it into his mouth. Now, hyssop was used during Passover. Anybody know why? Thank you. They dipped the blood, they dipped the hyssop in the blood, and they took the hyssop and they wiped the blood over the mantle. Okay? So here's hyssop again in this story. Now, the vinegar mixed with gall would have been kind of a sedative. Jesus refused it because he wanted to feel every pain that Shane and Steve and Paul and Dove and Sarah caused him. He wanted to feel every bit of it. He didn't take anything that would deaden any of the pain. That's pretty awesome. Now, when I go get dinner work done, I'm going to be honest with you. I am the biggest chicken, Kennedy, that you've ever saw. If I ever end up coming to you, you've got to have sympathy. And you can't make pictures or no share nothing. I premedicate. Okay, just letting you know up front. I don't like the pain of what the teeth work causes me. So I know it's going to hurt, and I take some stuff to prepare myself for the pain. And she says, I'll get you something for pain. I said, that would be great. There you go. I've done confess that one tonight. So they take this vinegar on the hyssop and they hand it up to him. And here's what the Bible said in verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Oh, that's such a beautiful word. Whew, when you read that in this original language, it means a lot of things. It means it's completed. It means it's paid in full. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Verse 31. Remember all that junk I read in Leviticus? Remember all that? Here you go. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Ready? For that Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day, was a high day. Was it the regular Saturday Sabbath day? This is another Sabbath day. Not Friday. Because everybody wants it to, oh, Brother Steve, it's the Sabbath. I know. Praise the Lord. It was the Sabbath. But it wasn't the Friday or the Saturday one. It was this one. Because Jesus is going to fulfill every dot and tittle of the Passover. You know when they were killing them lambs on the 14th at evening? He was dying. You know they tell me that when they killed those lambs, they used the same word that Jesus used as they killed every one of them? Said it is finished, his life is finished. And Jesus said the same thing. Why? Because He was the Lamb that was going to take away the sins of the world. They had to get Him down off the cross. They had to get Him to a burial. And He went on to tell us this, if you keep reading the book of John, that they went around to break His legs. And the Bible tells us in verse number 39, there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden there was a new sepulcher, where was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And he goes in the ground sometime before 601. Now, sometime after Saturday night, our Saturday night, 601, he's up and gone. Oh, Brother Steve, now wait. I know it says sunrise because they have sunrise service. I know. But when they got there, chapter 20, if you want to read, it's a good place. The first day of the week cometh. What time was the first day of the week? Could it have been 6:01? The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet. What? Dark. You know what? Nobody caught him coming out. Are you sure, Brother Steve? Yes. Nobody caught him coming out. When everybody found him, he was done gone. Can I say he's done gone okay? He's done gone. Up and out. Resurrected. First day of the week. We can worship on Sunday like we're supposed to. Jesus fulfilled every part of it. Now I got two things for you to go home with me tonight with. Go back to Exodus. I want to read one verse that I didn't share. Then I'm going to give you something to ponder. Then we're going to go home. Go back to Exodus. You know, I was reading today. I know some of you probably already read this, but I'll give it to you to grill home and read. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Write that down somewhere in your margin. And it talks about an old covenant and new covenant, which is Old Testament, New Testament, if you want to get in particular. And Jesus was the fulfillment of that scripture. He is the new covenant. He's the new covenant. I even mentioned Sunday about Jesus meeting Elijah and Moses up on the mountain. Remember that mountain transfiguration? Remember that story? Do you know that that was a fulfillment too? Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets. And Jesus was the New Testament, the new way. Now look at Exodus 20. I want you to see one more verse because I think this has got to be our motivation tonight. Our motivation tonight. Exodus 20. I said 20. I meant, how about 12? Verse 11. I like to see you run around. Keeps you awake. It don't look like I'm lost while I'm doing. I messed up a long, long time ago as a preacher. I didn't make notes. I studied. I made a few little dots. But all of a sudden, I've got old. And I wonder. I look at that sometimes, Brother John, and say, I wonder what that meant. Did you do that? Thank you. I'm glad. But look at this verse. This is the sweetest verse to me about my motivation from this day going forward to this holiday time. I'm in chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11 of Exodus. Now, in chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, he talked about how to cook this lamb. They cooked it all, totally, every bit of it. And I think that shows us that Jesus was a complete sacrifice. Amen? But look at verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it. Look at this. Everybody still there? With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, is the Lord's Passover. He said, eat it and be ready. Eat it and get serious. Eat it and let's get going. Let's just not mope around. Let's eat it. Let's eat it like we're fixing to do something. These guys are going to wake up the next morning. The death. I mean, you keep reading this chapter. All of Egypt, the Bible said, every house in Egypt had somebody dead. I can't imagine, but every house in Egypt had somebody dead. He says, I want you all to be ready. You wake up, you eat this meal with your shoes on, your staff's in your hand, you eat it ready to roll. Why ain't we like that? Why aren't we like that? We should be. We're out of here. We're going somewhere. Lord, don't let me live the Sunday. I don't know where I'm going. But on the way, there's people who need Jesus. That was the purpose. They're going to leave Egypt, and they're going to be a witness going through that wilderness. Amen? Aren't we supposed to be the witness to the wilderness? I'm driving today with Rochelle and I'm pondering. Sarah's on the phone. We're talking on the phone. Got it on speaker. She's talking. I'm preaching. I said, I just thought of something. What about this? Every child of Israel was under the blood. Or they wouldn't have got out. They put that blood on the doorpost. Those people had to pass through that blood to get in that house. Doors closed. They were safe. You know that same group of people came out of there and a few days later they went through the Red Sea, which the Bible calls a picture of what? Baptism. Isn't that pretty cool? You know the ones that God baptized? The ones that were under the blood. There were some that tried to go through it without being under the blood. What happened to them? They drowned, exactly. Now, you chances are if I dunk you out of here and you're not saved, you won't drown. Chances are. Chances are. But I want to tell you what, you just got wet. If you don't have the blood of Jesus in your life, you ain't going to make it. But if you do have the blood of Jesus in your life, you know what? You need to get baptized. That was the first thing they did. Was it not? Somebody, amen, Brother Steve. You know, that's the first step of obedience for a child of God if he gets saved, to follow him in baptism. I pray for people to make that next move. Now, here's how I want to close with you tonight. Somebody asked me, what do you think it was like that night? Not the crucifixion night, but the Passover night. What do you think it was like that night? Well, here's what I was thinking. What would be the odds that what was going on in Israel, some of the Egyptians heard about it? What would be the odds? Somebody tell me. What would be the odds? Pretty high? Can you imagine Pharaoh's son saying, Dad, you know, all them Israelites, they're killing lambs. There's men out putting blood on the doors. Maybe, Dad, maybe we ought to do that. I can hear Pharaoh saying, ha, I'm Pharaoh. I'm in charge of this land. There ain't nobody going to do anything to you, son. Don't worry about it. In that night, that son is dead. But then I thought, you know, there's probably some Jewish families there. And that Jewish son come in, he's oldest. He's done heard what's going to happen. And his dad's out putting the blood on. The son's out there talking to Dad. Like me and my dad. Now, Dad, did you do it right? How about the lamb, Dad? Did it have any spots of blemish? Dad, are you sure this is the right way? Now, Dad, did you check the lamb good? And it got dark that night. And I sat in there all night long. Worried. Worried, Dad. I'm worried. I hope he did it right. I sure hope he did it right. I hope the lamb was a good lamb. And finally the sun come up, Martha. Whoo! I made it. But I think there's probably another Jewish boy. Dad, was the lamb good? Yes, son, I checked him good. Did you put the blood with the hyssop? Yep. Did just exactly like you told me. Looks good to me. He went in, went to bed, went to sleep. Next morning, Dad woke him up. We got to go. You know, both of those boys were saved. But one of them was saved word all the way through. Come on, look at me. There's a lot of you Christians just like that. Oh, I hope. I think I did everything right. I'm pretty sure I did. You're just like that Jewish boy. Come on. I want to be like that other boy. I did everything. Dad did everything right. Listen, he did everything right. He did everything right. I put my faith in that. That's what he told me to do. Now listen to me tonight. Don't be that other one if you put your faith in there. But listen, if you're in here today and you're just like the other son, a Pharaoh, and you're trusting on your other dad. You're trusting on you being good enough. I want you to know, without Jesus Christ, you won't make it. You've got to have the blood of Jesus. That's why He is the Passover Lamb. I want you to know tonight, if He sees the blood, He will pass over. I'm so thankful. 1976, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm thankful for that. Have you messed up along the way, Brother Steve? Absolutely. There's some places in there I wish I could. But you know what? He took care of that. He took care of that. I want you to know tonight, if you're here and you've never gave your life to Jesus, what a great night to do it. If you're that other Christian tonight, you're just sitting there just worried. Give it to Jesus. Don't worry. You're secure in Him. Let's stand and pray. Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, I don't know a heart in the building tonight, but mine. And Lord, in my heart, it's been a rejoicing day just thinking about this Passover thing. And just thinking about how you told them to have their shoes on and their staffs in their hand and eat with haste. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be a people that's ready to go. And we'd leave out of this building tonight ready to share Jesus and let people understand what this is all about. Lord, I pray in this room tonight there could be somebody who's not sure about eternity. Could be somebody who's accepted Christ but never been baptized. There could be some Christians in here that are struggling with their salvation. Worried. Lord, my prayer tonight is simple, that Your will would be done in this building. And when we close in prayer and go out of here, that everybody can say, my heart is right with the Lord. Lord, have Your way in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.